All right, tonight I'm going to be sharing on something called The Pursuit of Happiness. And I opened with a statement that said, sometimes it's good to pause in the pursuit of happiness and just be happy. And that we quit worrying and trying so hard to be happy and just allow it to occur. And really, there are four things I wanted to address initially that I've called the happiness thieves. So the first one is fear. And that worry and fear, they are unwelcome twins. And the greatest byproduct of these two brings about an absence of joy. And when we're constantly fearful, we worry. And when we're worried, we miss the positives that could be right there in front of us. And a lot of people waste energy and opportunities worrying about things that never happen. And happiness just passes us by. It just slides by unnoticed. And I think it was Corrie Ten Boom who made that statement. Happiness is like sitting in a rocking chair all day long and never going anywhere. It's just, it ends up being wasted energy. And the second thing is ingratitude. So have you ever noticed, have you ever been around people who are critical of everyone and everything? You know, nothing pleases them at all, and it's exhausting in many respects to try to have a relationship with them. And people who are ungrateful or maybe have an unthankful attitude rarely experience any type of happiness because they're too busy complaining and pointing out problems in others to appreciate what they really truly do have. So that's two things. And the third thing, happiness thieves, these are, is selfishness. You know, a person who's centered around me has a hard time grasping happiness in their own lives and maybe even for someone else. They have what I would call tunnel vision, and they're always working hard to make sure they receive the respect, the attention, and material possessions that they think that they deserve. And they rarely enjoy just the simple pleasures of daily life, of which there are some. And finally, a happiness thief, number four, is jealousy. And that we're so busy looking at what others have that we fail to notice the blessings that we're receiving in our own life. You know, you can waste a lot of time wishing for things that won't really make you happy once you get them. Often we magnify and idolize the true picture of someone else's life. And this has been proven over and over and over again where people strive for long periods of time to acquire material wealth, and then once they've received it, they realize it hasn't brought them the happiness that they really expected that it would be. So, you know, this is a comparison in light of, you know, the things that Jesus taught and the things that are in God's Word. And they're far different from what the world claims brings about this happiness. And in fact, to some people, his instructions and the things that he said were pretty, they didn't make much sense. And they're like, well, why would I want to do that? And so here are seven things that we can look at tonight. We'll call them seven secrets to real happiness. Number one is to walk humbly. And that is the same kind of thing as you would call humility, but it's certainly a quality that Jesus Christ himself not only stressed, but he lived. Some of his greatest antagonists were the religious people of that day, the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he really confronted them and challenged them because what they did is they elevated themselves. You know, God says something in the Old Testament in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. I can just go ahead and read it. It says, He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And there are many, many other records in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that God really encourages us to have humility and meekness and just that state of mind, that attitude that we're willing to learn, we're willing to submit ourselves to a higher power, to our Father God, that we submit to him. Number two is to live a life that is dependent upon God. You know, putting God at the center of our lives, it really goes hand in hand with humility. In every activity and every decision that we make, if we're searching for God's wisdom, like Warren Seams was sharing about last night, we turn towards God and God turns towards us. He doesn't turn away from us. So we see God in our decision making and in life's activities. And you know what? This can lead to a very peaceful and agreeable, let's call it happiness, because it does put us in line with His will. And you know what? It does take a bit of effort to pursue a life and a lifestyle that's based on a relationship with God. You know, the old nature, the nature that we had and still struggle with, is to put ourselves first. So we have to consciously make the decision every day to focus spiritually and to put God in the center of our activities and decisions. Remember a verse and something that Jesus quoted in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? I think you probably could quote it as well as I could. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's talking about all our material possessions, all the things that we need on a daily basis. If we will just, let's say, put God first, express our dependence upon God, our need for God, our desire for God to help in life situations, we can be assured that God will show up at just the right time. It may not be according to our timetable at times, but God will show up. Another one is to enjoy the life that you've been given. Let's say enjoy salvation. Enjoy the wholeness that you've been given. Enjoy the Spirit of God that's been placed within you by grace. You know, as human beings, we kind of have a hard time seeing the big picture. We're usually very focused on what's happening in the moment and at the moment. And we have a tendency to forget that we have promises regarding help for today and hope for tomorrow and for all of eternity. So we have to kind of get ourselves and our minds to a point of enjoying the wholeness and the spirit life that we've been given, and tapping into that in exercising our faith in Christ. You know, any frustration, any difficulty, any circumstance that you're experiencing right now, it will not last forever. Even those who are experiencing health issues that seem to be so, at times even life-threatening, I've been known to say, we'll get our deliverance one way or another. Either Christ will return and we'll get our deliverance then, or we'll get it in the here and now and we'll receive the wholeness and the healing that's rightfully ours. In the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, the first part of verse 9, says, be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. The verses I was thinking about today were in Psalm chapter 1, which says, blessed is the man, happy is the man. You should read that maybe this evening or at another time. Happy is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful and doesn't have the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. See, we're blessed because of that. And here's another good one, is be content. Learn to be satisfied. It's probably a good thing that we just take stock of kind of where we're at. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, rejoice evermore. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I mean, the circumstances, could they get better? Yes, they could get better. But why can't we rejoice where we are? Not that necessarily God even got us in those circumstances, but whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we can always praise We can always give thanks. And Casting Crowns did a great song about praising in the storm. In the storms of life is the greatest time to praise God. And it's the least likely thing you feel like doing. But yet it is the, let's call it the antidote to the storms of stress and discouragement. You know, 1 Timothy 6:6, Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. And just take the time to maybe take a sheet of paper and write down the things you have to be thankful for. You'd be surprised what a change in your heart and in your mind will really occur. And we have to learn to recognize the blessings that we already have. It's a huge key to being satisfied. They could be material blessings. You have nice hair. You have the ability to get out and walk. You can speak to other people. You have good family relationships. You have, a good retirement. You have medical benefits. You have so many things that sometimes people don't have these things in their life. And we just take them for granted. So maybe it's a good idea to express some thanksgiving and then to be satisfied with what we really do have. Another thing is to exhibit compassion, to find a place. If you want to be treated with compassion, you know what? It's a good idea to be tender-hearted and compassionate towards others. It may not be a part of what you consider to be your personality, but Jesus didn't really consider it to be an option. You know, so we learn to cultivate compassion and mercy towards other people. You know, Dr. Werwell once said, you'll never have a problem forgiving others when you realize what God has forgiven you for. If you want to be treated with compassion, start treating others with compassion. In Ephesians 4:32 it says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Kindness, compassion, tenderheartedness, these are all qualities and characteristics that live within us because it's Christ who lives within us. And we have plenty of opportunities to find ourselves in positions to give out compassion. And the opposite of compassion really is judgment. So we don't want to always be in a situation where we're judging others and then speaking out what those judgments are. And that leads us right into the next one, and that's about seeking peace. You know, when we speak evil or we just speak out against others, it usually comes back, let's just say, to bite us. You heard this once. If you point fingers at somebody else, you're normally pointing three back at yourself. You know what? It's really easy to gossip and or talk down about something when you have everyone's attention. You're getting laughs, maybe with your comments, or maybe sometimes your words anger other people when you could have kept silent. So we have to learn to think first. Words can wound worse than physical blows. You know. We've all been the target at times of someone else's words. So we want to be in that position where we're speaking words that are encouraging and building others up. Because eventually people will begin to avoid you. And they will begin to distrust you. You know, in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, it says, if it be possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I'm not saying that that is always easy. And it says, if it is possible. So, you know, but let's assume that for the majority of situations, it is possible. And as far as it depends upon them, the circumstances, no. As far as it depends upon you, you do your best to live at peace with everyone. Romans 12:18. And finally, you know, a lot of us need an attitude adjustment to experience contentment, satisfaction, and, yes, even happiness. You know, really, it's a choice rather than a result of circumstances and our surroundings. If we're looking to situations, circumstances, surroundings, and other people to make us happy, then you're probably going to be experiencing a lot of unhappiness. Being happy doesn't mean everything has to go your way. You know what? Not that problems are a guarantee in life, but we're going to have problems in life. But ultimately, we do have the victory in Jesus Christ. John 16:33 says, while you are in the world, you will have to suffer. You'll have to endure a few things. But cheer up. I have defeated the world. So just in reviewing, you know what? Sometimes it is good to pause in the pursuit of happiness and just be happy. You know, get rid of fear, ingratitude, selfishness, jealousy, and walk humbly with God. Be dependent upon God. Enjoy the blessings and benefits of being a believer. Learn to be content in your life. And if you need to make some changes to get yourself more content, then make the changes necessary. Find yourself in a place to exercise and exhibit compassion. Jesus was a very compassionate person. He lives within us. We have the ability to do that. And finally, closing here, to seek peace. If it's possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. And watch your words. Watch your words. And enjoy the benefit of having a positive attitude. Not seeing the glass half empty, but seeing the glass half full. I shared this a couple of weeks ago about Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. If there's any praise, any good, any thing that's valuable, honorable in someone's life or in a circumstance, then think on that. It's going to bring a lot more positive fruit to us and to your life as we do those sort of things. So the pursuit of happiness. Sometimes it's good just to pause in the pursuit of happiness. You know what? Just be happy. Just be happy. Maybe like that Bobby McFerrin song, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. If I would have thought about it, I would have played that to close this thing. But maybe you can find it on YouTube or something afterwards. Don't worry, be happy. Because worry and fear just chokes the goodness of God and the happiness and the joy out of living. Amen?